The Catra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Catra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a topic that, let's be honest, sounds incredibly dry on the surface. Metadata, you know, usually defined as just data about data.
Right. And that's usually where people's eyes glaze over. They think, okay, technical stuff for coders, maybe librarians, but not for me.
Exactly. But the work we're looking at today by Jeffrey Pomerantz argues it's way more than that. He calls it the invisible architecture of our digital lives.
It really is. It's like the hidden framework holding everything up online. So our mission today is to kind of pull back the curtain.
Yeah, show you how this seemingly simple information titles, timestamps, locations, keywords, all the how it structures everything from finding a research paper to, say, your Spotify playlists.
And if you've ever wondered, you know, how does Netflix know what I want to watch? Or how does Google sift through, like, trillions of pages instantly? The answer, metadata.
And Pomerantz makes this really compelling case that because it controls what we see and access, understanding metadata isn't just technical literacy anymore. It's a fundamental for being an informed citizen in the 21st century, for our own autonomy, really.
Absolutely. So the promise here is we're taking metadata from this sort of niche technical term and turning it into a lens, a powerful way to look at control, privacy, how knowledge gets organized.
Okay, so who's our guide on this journey? Let's talk about the author, Jeffrey Pomerantz.
Right. He's an associate professor of practice at Simmons University's School of Library and Information Science, LIS, they call it. And he has a PhD in information science.
So he's deep in this world. His whole academic focus is on organizing information to digital libraries, that sort of thing.
Exactly. But what makes his perspective so valuable, I think, isn't just the tech side.
What is it then?
It's that he's both a technologist and a humanist. He gets the complex standards, the coding, but he also understands the history, the philosophy behind organizing information.
Ah, so he connects the dots, like from ancient library catalogs
all the way to modern social media algorithms. He shows it's not like tech-invented organization. We've always done it. We just digitized that impulse.
That makes sense. He traces this line from, say, organizing scrolls in Alexandria through really complex systems like MIRC.
Which we'll get into.
Right up to, you know, hashtags and AI tagging things automatically.
And that LIS background library in information science is key. It gives him this critical viewpoint because librarians have been wrestling with this for centuries.
How so?
Well, he understands that describing something, a book, a photo, even a person, it's never purely objective. It's an active interpretation.
Meaning it's loaded with values, biases.
Precisely. And power dynamics. So Pomerantz pushes us beyond just the how of metadata, how it's made, and forces us to ask why. Who is it for? What are the ethical implications when we encode human choices into these vast digital systems?
Okay, so let's dig into the book's core argument then. What's the central idea?
He basically says metadata is the fundamental unseen infrastructure of our digital world. He calls it the grammar of the digital age.
The grammar?
Yeah.
Okay, so it provides the rules, the structure.
Exactly. It creates order out of what would otherwise just be this overwhelming, unusable digital chaos. Imagine, like, a giant warehouse with billions of unmarked boxes.
Impossible to find anything.
Right. Metadata is the inventory system. The labels, the shelf locations, the descriptions, the rules for organizing it all. Without it, total information overload.
So the book outlines, what, three main jobs that metadata does?
Yeah, three core functions. The first one is the most obvious, resource discovery. Basically helping us find the thing we're looking for.
Like searching on Google or in a library catalog?
Yep. The second is information organization. This is about classifying things, creating structure, putting things into logical groups so we can navigate.
Like how a news website groups all articles about politics together, even if they were written years apart?
Exactly that. Grouping by subject or format or whatever makes sense.
Okay. And the third one, you said it was maybe less intuitive.
Right. It's interoperability. This is the really crucial one for the modern web. It's like the common language that lets completely different computer systems,
like a library database and my web browser,
understand each other when they're talking about the same thing, the same resource.
Ah, okay. So if that breaks down, that's when you try to move, say, a music playlist from one app to another and half the info gets lost.
Precisely. The systems didn't agree on the standard grammar for describing the song. The metadata wasn't interoperable. Pomerantz argues you really need to grasp this to be digitally fluent today.
All right, let's get a bit more specific. What is metadata beyond just data about data. Pomerantz has a particular definition, right?
He does. He insists it's a structured statement. It's not just a label. It's an active assertion about something.
Like a sentence.
Kind of. Like, this file is a JPEG, or this photo was taken in Paris.
Hmm.
It defines a relationship or an attribute in a structured way.
The old library card catalog is the classic example, isn't it?
It's the perfect historical archetype. The card wasn't the book itself, but those structured statements on it, the author, the title, the subject headings, that Dewey Decimal number.
Told you everything you needed to find it and understand its context instantly.
Right. And this leads to the different types of metadata, because they serve different purposes. Let's use a digital photo as our example again.
Okay.
First up, descriptive metadata. This just answers, what is it?
So for our photo, that's the caption, keywords like beach or sunset, maybe the location where it was taken, the date.
Exactly. This is mostly what search engines use. Helps you find the photo.
Got it. What's next?
Structural metadata. This describes how something is put together. It's internal organization.
So if the photo is part of an album...
Structural metadata defines the order of the photos in that album. Tells the software which comes first, second, third. For an ebook, it defines the chapters, the sections.
Okay. Descriptive, structural, and the third.
Administrative metadata. This is all about managing the resource over time. It's crucial for preservation.
How so? What does it include?
It breaks down into a couple of key types. There's technical metadata, things like the file type, JPEG, TIFF, whatever, the camera settings used, the image resolution.
Why is that important?
Because 50 years from now, software might need that technical info just to be able to open and display the file correctly. It's like the instruction manual for the file itself.
Ah, like future-proofing it.
Exactly. And administrative also includes rights metadata. Who owns the copyright? Are there any restrictions on how it can be used? That's the data that controls permissions.
Okay, that makes sense. Three distinct types serving different needs.
And understanding those types helps explain the standards wars the book talks about.
Right, because if everyone describes things differently...
You get chaos. No interoperability. A digital tower of Babel, like you said. Standards are the agreed-upon rules, the shared vocabularies that let systems communicate.
He contrasts MARC, the old library standard.
Which is incredibly detailed, very rigid, tells you exactly where every piece of data goes.
With something like Dublin Core.
Yeah, Dublin Core was designed for the web. Much simpler, only 15 basic elements, more flexible. It highlights that trade-off between richness and ease of use.
And this connects back to search engines like Google, right? You mentioned they don't search the full text in real time.
Correct. Google primarily searches its massive pre-built index of metadata. Web creators provide this metadata through things like HTML tags, title tags, descriptions. Google is essentially a giant metadata search engine.
So the better the metadata on a page, the easier Google can find and understand it.
Pretty much. And the next evolution of this, which Pomerantz discusses, is the semantic web and linked data.
Okay, what's the core idea there? Moving beyond just documents.
Exactly. Right now, the web is mostly linked documents. The semantic web aims for a web of linked data, where machines understand the meaning and relationships between concepts, not just the words.
So instead of just finding a page mentioning Marie Curie...
The system understands that Marie Curie is a person who was married to Pierre Curie and who won the Nobel Prize. These are structured relationships.
And that allows for more complex questions, smarter results. Like those info boxes Google shows.
Precisely. That's linked data in action, powering things like Google's knowledge graph. It's about understanding the world as interconnected entities, not just text strings.
But this whole organized system faced a huge shift, didn't it? With users getting involved?
A massive shift. Pomerantz calls it the democratization of description. Suddenly, creating metadata wasn't just for librarians or experts anymore.
It was for everyone, like with social media.
Yeah, think social tagging or folksonomies. That's basically hashtags on Twitter or Instagram. Users create their own tags.
It's messy, inconsistent sometimes.
Totally chaotic. Misspellings, variations, but also incredibly dynamic and responsive. It's a bottom-up classification system. Add geotagging from our phones.
And we're all constantly generating this huge stream of metadata about our own lives, our activities, where we are.
And that is where the convenience tips over into the really critical, sometimes darker side of metadata.
I mean, that's...
Yes. All that descriptive power, collected on a massive scale, enables monitoring like never before.
The book highlights the NSA program that Snowden revealed, right? Focusing on the metadata of phone calls.
Exactly. The key wasn't necessarily listening to the content of calls, but collecting the metadata. Who called who, when, for how long, maybe even location data.
Because that alone tells a story.
An incredibly detailed story. It can map your social network, reveal affiliations, patterns of behavior, sensitive relationships, all without ever needing the content of the call itself.
Wow. It really drives home that point. Metadata isn't just harmless background info.
Not at all. It shows that controlling the metadata can mean controlling insights into people's lives. It's deeply powerful.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. What are the main themes, the big takeaways we should remember from this?
I think the first one is simply recognizing metadata as the invisible architecture of modern life.
Just seeing it. Realizing it's this hidden scaffolding that dictates so much what we find online, what gets recommended, how our digital tools function. When it works well, we don't even notice it.
Exactly. The second big theme, and this is crucial, is that metadata is not neutral.
Because humans make choices, right? About categories, about words, about standards. And those choices have biases baked in.
Absolutely. The act of describing and classifying reflects the values and potential biases of the creators. That's why we have to be critical of search results or algorithmic recommendations. They aren't objective truth.
They're the output of a system built with specific, potentially biased human choices, which can then amplify existing inequalities.
Right. And the third theme is maybe more philosophical. Order out of chaos. Metadata is basically the digital version of a fundamental human drive.
To classify things, to make sense of the world.
Yeah, from the earliest farmers organizing grain stores, to librarians organizing scrolls, to us organizing trillions of files, we impose structure to manage information and knowledge. It's an age-old impulse.
Pomerantz has some really memorable ways of putting things. Mm. Are there any specific lines or ideas that stand out?
Definitely. One is his insistence that to truly understand metadata, we must move beyond the simple definition of data about data. We must see it as a structured statement of description.
Which forces you to see it as an active claim, not just a passive label. It gives it agency.
Exactly. Another powerful one is, to control metadata is to control access to information.
That gets right to the political heart of it. Whoever sets the rules controls the index, controls what's visible and findable, whether that's a government, a corporation.
It makes metadata governance inherently political, yeah.
And what about its invisibility?
That leads to the paradox he mentions. The invisibility of metadata is both its strength and its weakness.
Strength because it works seamlessly behind the scenes.
Weakness because we don't see it, so we don't question it. We don't think about the privacy implications or the embedded biases nearly enough.
So how can we actually use this understanding in our everyday lives? Make it practical.
Well, one direct application is just better personal information management.
Like applying these ideas to our own digital stuff, our photos, our files.
Yeah. Think about your photo collection. Instead of just dumping them in folders, consciously apply descriptive metadata. Use keywords, check the dates and locations, maybe even add notes about rights if you share them. You're basically building your own searchable, long-lasting archive.
Taking control of your own information structure.
Right. But maybe the bigger application is developing enhanced critical thinking and digital literacy.
Becoming savvier digital citizens.
Exactly. It means being more aware of the metadata you generate, constantly location data from your phone, your likes on social media, your browsing history. That data trail is valuable and revealing.
And understanding how things like recommendation engines work. They're matching your metadata profile against others. It demystifies it a bit.
It does. And crucially, it means questioning what you see online. Search results, news feeds, realizing they aren't neutral mirrors of reality.
They're shaped by algorithms processing metadata according to specific, often hidden criteria. Knowing that encourages you to look deeper, seek other perspectives.
It empowers you to challenge the organized reality that's presented to you.
What was the most surprising thing for you digging into this?
For me, it was that deep, almost unexpected connection between really old school library science, organizing physical scrolls, developing complex cataloging rules like MIRC, and the absolute cutting edge of AI.
How so?
The fundamental problems are the same. How do you consistently describe things? How do you handle ambiguity? How do you ensure quality? The lessons librarians learned over centuries are directly relevant to training AI to automatically tag images or understand text. It suggests the future needs that humanistic oversight, not just code.
That's fascinating. My big takeaway is probably how essential this knowledge feels now. Metadata literacy isn't just for techies or librarians anymore.
No, it really isn't.
It feels like a necessary skill for anyone trying to navigate the modern world responsibly. Understanding this invisible architecture is key to ensuring the systems we rely on are hopefully fair and transparent. We need to be able to see it to critique it.
Well said. It's about understanding the power structures embedded in how we organize information.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by ACATRA Foundation.